Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning, folks, and yes, we made it to a Friday. It's Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Got a lot to talk about today. We'll kick it off here in just a second with JC. He's our correspondent up in Boston, Massachusetts. He's who knows what he's doing up there, but we'll have Jeff Cardozo join us in the second portion of the program to discuss baseball. Chris says real quick on Facebook Live, good morning. He was at the Lightning game last night to see Stamkos become the Tampa Bay's all-time scoring leader, 954 goals, I guess. So real quick, like I said, we'll talk about Arkansas comes in here, plays softball this weekend. They're ranked like seventh or eighth. We will be at without Hannah Adams for about 2 or 3 weeks with a hand injury. Baseball's out with Hernabarco. We'll talk to Cardozo about that. We'll get your thoughts. We know I got a bunch of texts here about Coach Napier talking last night in Jacksonville. The new baseball park is going to be called, starting tonight, the Condren Ballpark after Gary Condren. The indoor complex is named after him. We can talk about the Gator Guard, all the big wigs who've pulled together $5 million right now for that. The NBA. I don't watch a lot of NBA, but I watched one of the most incredible games last night between the between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Timberwolves. JC, did you happen to see in that? Good morning. You're on the Titan MR Hotline live from Boston.
Yeah. In fact, I'm only about eighth of a mile from the TD Bank Garden where the Celtics play. And I did watch that in a local Italian bar last night, and I could not get over. I mean, they were down 20 something points.
They were down. They here's just the thing. Here's what's crazy, JC. I turn it on and it's like middle of the second quarter. They're down 26. Okay.
Yeah.
They're down. I don't know what they were down, 13 or whatever it had. They go down 26 again. They cut it to 5, but then they go back down 21 and then they go on like this 35 to 6 run. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And if you missed it, they take a lead 2-1 in their series. The Warriors are 3-0 in their series. And I can't even remember the other game that was playing. But are you going to the Celtics game? Are they in town or are they on the road now?
So the Celtics are in Brooklyn. And the there's a hockey game between the New York Rangers, who are very good, and the Boston Bruins, who are also a playoff-bound team on Saturday, hitting Cape Cod today. And yesterday walked around the Freedom Trail in Boston. What a great city this is. Everybody's so friendly. And if you ever get an opportunity, head up here, folks. You won't regret it. It's beautiful weather. It's just a great time. Now, as far as what's happening down by UQB in Gainesville tonight, I'm curious to see the baseball, you know, how they work it out tonight without Hunter Barco. And, of course, we know Judd Fabian, you know, passing Zunino for fifth on the home run list the other night when he hit his 40 something home run, whatever it was. It was really a big moment that we kind of just glossed over. We didn't even notice or talk much about it, but he's got 48 career home runs, and you know, offensively this is the only way Florida wins. They have to score runs to compensate for the lack of bullpen and pitching. I'm sure Big Red will focus on this today with you later. But I think it's a big weekend for Florida as far as the season goes and avoid losing, you know, to Tennessee. It's going to be hard, but this is a big weekend.
What's crazy is, so as I'm flipping through the channels last night, I go to the SEC Network and you got the version of the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss versus State in Oxford.
Yeah.
JC, do you realize that both of those teams at one point this year were ranked number one in America? Do you realize that neither are ranked now, and both of them only have either 5 or 6 wins in the conference and are looking at possibly not even making the SEC tournament in Hoover? Isn't that amazing?
That is shocking how both teams' pitching staffs have just been decimated. Mississippi State losing Landon Turner. I think his name is Landon Sims or something. as a, you know, he was a big relief pitcher. Mississippi also losing some pitching. I think, you know, pitching is the lifeblood in college baseball. If you don't pitch, you don't win. It's just that simple to me, QB. I know that you got to score runs and so forth, but the winning teams, the ones that get it done late in the season, have the pitching that is required literally to win. And it would be a shock if neither one of those teams, with everything they've put into baseball, were to miss the postseason. That would be, I mean, what would the odds have been before the season that you could have gotten on that?
Oh, who knows?
I mean, think about that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Florida's in the same boat.
Yeah, they are. That's right.
It's all about pitching.
Yeah.
We got a text on the Titan MR text line from Daryl. He says, good morning, guys. Saw Coach Napier in Jacksonville last night. My first impression is this guy gets it. He has a plan. I just hope our fan base is patient, because this process ain't going to happen overnight. You're exactly right. He's a good old down-to-earth. He's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. He's a tremendous speaker. Chris says here on Facebook Live, Shane's favorite topic, the new Gator Guard, now has 5 million. Look, again, people don't understand my and former players' stance on this. I have a buddy who played pro ball for a long time, was an All-American in college. He has kids playing both at the University of Texas and the University of Alabama. He texts me yesterday and he goes, this is the most nonsense. He can't believe it. Ajay Hall, what was the guy's name that went from Alabama, the wide receiver from Alabama to Texas? Ajay Hall?
That's it.
If we're pronouncing his name. He basically said that he was a locker room disaster in Tuscaloosa. This is what his kids told him. Basically he was upset because he wanted to be paid. And he said Texas basically is paying. So you're going to see more situations like this. But it's great that we've raised $5 million. Again, I don't know where that $5 million is going to go, but it's not $30 million like A&M spent on their class. So I don't know if you'll ever find a former player or even a coach publicly say it, that they totally disagree with this. It has nothing to do with name, image, and likeness. We've talked about it at countless hours. But at least Hugh Hathcock cares about his Gators, and he formed his little Gator Guard. And it's not the Gator Collective. It's two different entities. The Gator Collective is where your average ticket holder or fan just wants to donate some money to help the kids, you know, do some appearances here and there, which I'm all for. But the other portion of it is just totally ridiculous. What are your thoughts on that, JC?
No, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. It's hard to believe that this is the reality we live in. I really never thought I'd see it come this fast. But I guess once the jar is open and the genie is out of the bottle, it just becomes self-fulfilling. And I don't know. I mean, it doesn't mean to me that just because you spend a lot of money, you're going to win on Saturdays.
I'm telling you right now, I can go ahead and give you six teams that will be playing in the Final Four next year, right now. JC, let me answer this Facebook Live question from Joseph. He says, Shane, if UF had offered you $1 million in 1990, you're telling me you would have turned it down. That's not what I'm saying. First of all, they don't understand. JC, have I been clear about where I stand on the NIL?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to phrase it one more time. I have zero, let's say this, after 1990, when I was the SEC Player of the Year, if they wanted to give me money, I would have had no problem with that. Where I have a problem, and I want everybody to listen one more time, is for money to be being thrown at kids that we don't know if they can produce.
Yeah.
That's there's no difference. If the NIL was doing what it's doing like it is right now, and Kyle Trask and Pitts and Tony had come back and they wanted to give them money, that's fine. Same way, think about Tebow. Tebow wins when did he win the Heisman? As a sophomore or a freshman? I can't remember. He proved himself. That's the difference. I don't think that's what people understand where I have a problem. Not just me. I can't tell you how many phone calls I fielded yesterday from former players. Not just University of Florida players again. I'm talking about around the country. So that's where I have a problem with it. I have no problem if Anthony Richardson is playing at an extremely high level this year and he comes back next year and he's getting X amount of, I have zero problem with that because we've seen the guy play. Right? Would you have a problem with that, JC? Yeah.
No. I mean, absolutely not. But, you know, QB, it's crazy to me. I mean, one of your buddies, old Antonio Langham, you know, he got into trouble before the Sugar Bowl against Miami after your game with him because of signing some things and getting money for it. Can you imagine how ridiculous that sounds today? Well, it does sound ridiculous today. Yeah. It just isn't it crazy how, you know, the scrutiny he went under as a player at Alabama. And then, of course, you know, you think of what Percy Harvin could have commanded here at Florida. Right. I mean, would Tim Tebow, just imagine after his freshman, would Percy Harvin had stayed at Florida or had, what if he had left? You know, that could have changed all of what Tim Tebow ever won at Florida as a quarterback in terms of Heisman Trophy. I mean, I think we'll all agree that without Percy Harvin, Tim Tebow doesn't probably win the Heisman Trophy. Maybe he does. I don't know. But the point is that Percy Harvin was just as much a part of Florida's success, I think, back in those days.
He's the best I've ever seen here.
Yeah, and I mean, he truly was one of the greatest to ever play. And I just think that, you know, it's just so crazy today what we are experiencing. And compare that to, you know, the days of Antonio Langham and you, and of course, you know, the 90s players, all those great players, Ike and Riddell and so forth. So I just am amazed at how it's turned. And how things, you know, Jay Wright retires, right? Or he resigns at Villanova. If you don't think it had probably something to do with the way the college landscape is going, I would think you're somewhat naive, even though I haven't talked to Jay Wright, don't know Jay Wright, but I have a feeling some of this is part of that. And, you know, he's done it. He's been there. You know, who knows if the NBA is in his future or not, but I bet you part of what he shocked the basketball world over is the way the landscape of college athletics has become so gut-wrenching right now and so cutthroat, I guess is a better word. So that's just part of it, and it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. I never thought we'd see it like this today.
Yeah, I was listening to something as I was driving around town and out of town yesterday. I don't remember what show it was, but they were talking about Jay Wright, and basically these were basketball so-called analysts said that's pretty much why he has stepped down. You know, he's built a great program at Villanova the last 10 years. Has been outstanding. But I think it was one year they were referring to back when Kyle Lowry played point guard for him. They had made a deep run, but they didn't win. And so Jay wanted to tweak his recruiting, and they went out and tried to sign all these big, big wigs, and they got them. But he ended up running them off because they weren't his kind of guys. They called them OKGs, our kind of guy. And so he went back to recruiting his OKG type players, and that's when they won their national title. So it's crazy, and I think you're going to see more college coaches get out of it. We got a text from Donnie here on the Titan MR text line, and JC, you may know this better than I do. He says, "What's the cost of a Florida education, including books, room, and board, and travel?" I don't know what the travel has to do with, but it depends on if you're in state or out of state, obviously. And he says, "QB, you're in the majority. Most of us feel the same way you do about this NIL. I understand you have to do it. I mean, look, if Florida did not put together, if Hugh Hathcock didn't care about the Gators and put together this, they're going to get left behind. But that doesn't mean you have to agree on buying players. But I would say the average, I would say usually an education, if you say 4 or 5 years, you're looking at what, $250,000, about $300,000?
Yeah, cost of attendance, you know, and it's just not, I guess it's just not part of it anymore, or it's part of it, but at a much smaller scale. So, you know, the headlines that we hear are the ones that make the big noise with the seven-figure deals, right? Those are the ones we always hear in the media, but they're, you know, cost of attendance, things like this. I mean, I don't know.
What do you mean? No. He was just saying not cost of attendance. He was just saying, what does it cost to go to the University of Florida? And I think if you're out of state, you're looking at probably $250,000 or $300,000.
Yeah, I'd say something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's crazy. And, you know, like I said, Texas has a lot of money, and I know some of their former players think it's absolutely ludicrous what they're doing too. So it is what it is. J Joseph says close to $100,000 for 5 years of housing and food and gas, not including tuition and books. So,
but you know, QB, I don't think it's their choice. I think the people are being forced into this because
there's no question.
I mean, you can't say, "Well, I'm pissed." You can't say, "I'm pissed at Texas" or "I'm pissed at Georgia" or what. I mean, this has just been forced upon everybody because of what happened with the antitrust and the Supreme Court. And the fact that that ruling opened the gates, and once that happened, you can't push back the water. It's like Katrina, you know, it comes in and it's coming. So I don't know what to do.
This one coach that if I could pull up his text, the way he phrased it, it was pretty good. Let me see if I can find it here in a minute. But yeah, it's crazy. It's what it is. He basically said, if I can find it here real quick. He basically said the intentions and the reality of the portal and the name, image, and likeness are totally opposite of the way they were intended to be.
Yeah, well, you know, mo money. It's just mo money.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to name, image, and likeness, which we've talked about 1,000 times.
Well, it's turned
none,
into
none of this
play.
Has to do with name, image, and likeness.
Well, pay-for-play, right? Clear to me. I mean, it's clear to me. That kid from California we wasted a whole show on basically has been contractually obligated to work for Tennessee now. And if he doesn't, he gives back money. And that's a contract. That is simply a contract. And that's what we're talking about.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he will be giving back a lot of his money. That what if he can't give it back? What if he spends it all?
Yeah. Well, life lessons come hard sometimes, right?
Yeah. So, Ruse Ogre State Farm Office is a team of dedicated insurance professionals ready to help life go right with the right insurance options for you and your family. Visit ogreinsurance.com or give them a call at 352-240-1779. I don't know if I had you, but, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe, who was the National Player of the Year, came back. They got him about $2 million. Wow. Were you aware of that, JC?
I think I saw something across my phone on my updates because I follow all of the SEC schools on my Score app, and I did see his name, but I didn't read it because I was deep in the middle of some oysters at the Union Oyster Bar here, whatever. So.
Yeah, so he wasn't even projected to go in the first two. You know, there's only two rounds of the NBA. He was not projected at all. Yeah. He's not an NBA player. So it's smart on his part to come back and play for the Kentucky Wildcats. I think that's a great, great part of the NIL. Andy says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law. Hey, Shane, gosh, dog it. It goes away every time I look at it. Billy says there's no need to bring in any new quarterbacks from the transfer portal. That's true, because he only wants 4 scholarship quarterbacks on their roster each year. Right now they have 3, and they'll have their 4th. Max Brown will be here probably June, July. So that's where he – now, look, if Caleb Williams or somebody popped into the portal.
Oh, yeah.
I think it – look, they're going to take best available out of the portal. It's like the NFL draft now. Rick says he would rather have more golf talk than NIL, and he doesn't care about golf.
I love the Zurich, the way they do it with these team things, and I think that's kind of fun. That looks good. I like that.
Yeah, well, I can't even remember. I don't have it written down. It was on another sheet of paper somewhere, but Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele lead the tournament at 1,300.
Yeah.
It's not an alternating shot. What's the format?
Well, I want to say is it not best ball? Is that not true?
Best ball, you mean whoever scores the best, not a scramble. Whoever scores the best
lowest,
on the ball. I think.
Lowest ball. I mean, lowest
score. Could you imagine,
could
you imagine the PGA Tour playing a scramble?
Well, those rounds would be done in 2 hours.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Yeah, or a shamble. Maybe a shamble.
Shamble?
Shamble, play your own ball after the drive and hit your second shot after the par 5. I got Varner and Bubba. I think they're in the top 10 or something. It just makes a drab tournament. you know, that's in between the Masters and the PGA, a little more interesting. And New Orleans is not one of the hot stops. It's not one of the hot stops on tour. I mean, so the guys that go need to go. The guys that go have to go because they need to either win money or keep their tour card active or something to that effect, get a 2-year exemption if by winning. But, you know, maybe enter the Masters for next year by winning, so forth. But most of the big names usually skip this tournament, but many are playing in it because of the format. And then, of course, in a few weeks, we have the PGA, which has been moved from August to May as the second major before the U.S. Open starts in June.
Yeah. Facebook Live brought to you by Metal Law. John says, if you are getting paid $8 million to play football in Knoxville, do you still have to go to class? There ain't no way in hell that kid's going to class. Are you kidding me? No way. Now, he'll show up and if he gets checked or whatever to make sure he's in class to be eligible, but there ain't no way.
I just would love to know how they came up with that number. I mean, like, who walked in a room and said, hey, I think we're going to pay some kid in California. Let's just go with, how about 8 million? How do you come up with a number like that?
But JC, 8 million is probably more than half of the starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. Think about that. Just think about that.
That's just absurd. He won the lottery. That's all you can say. Kid pulled the ticket.
I still don't buy it until he shows up on campus. Text here on the Tiger text line. Is Florida getting a new facility? Maybe you addressed that already. I missed the first part of the show. I think the Boston course is too short. Oh, he's talking about golf. There has been talk about a new golf course being built out west, about 4 or 5 miles off of I-75 out that way. I believe it's going to happen eventually. For the land that they have there at Bostwick, it's a good little golf course. But from parking to practice facility, it's got to be at the bottom of the totem pole just for the SEC. And speaking of that, I meant to take a picture of this. The SEC Golf Championship's taking place over at Sea Island. Great golf course. Vanderbilt was leading it. Gators were in second. Do you know how many shots back the Alabama Crimson Tide were of Vanderbilt, JC?
I didn't know. I don't know. Let me guess. 35.
It was like 32 shots back.
Yeah.
What the hell happened in Alabama?
I don't know. I mean, that was a golf dynasty, and Jay Sewell was the coach. Is the coach? I guess they've just fallen by the wayside. It's hard to understand, really, to tell you the truth, because they've won and done so well there in men's golf, but some of the women's golf teams have done well. But yeah, that's very surprising, to tell you the truth, QB. I guess they don't like the windy conditions of Sea Island, Georgia.
They're struggling. John's got a good question here. He says, if a kid is making $8 million, one has to wonder what a school's going to pay Arch Manning to come play for them.
Well, I mean, in a way, remember what Arch Manning comes from and what many other football players come from. Arch Manning's family is, you know, we're talking a whole different world, really, to tell you the truth. Whereas money is important. I'm not sure it resonates with a guy like that because his dad, Cooper, and his uncles, Peyton and Eli, are basically trying to see if this kid can play football. I think more importantly to them, it's about whether he can play. The money to the Mannings is secondary, in my opinion. I don't think it becomes a money issue with him. I think it becomes a situational issue. Is Georgia the best place for this kid to develop? Is he going to get the best coaching? Is he going to be a football player in his professional life? And is he going to be able to compete on the college level even, you know? So that's, to me, the primary focus for Arch Manning because, again, money with that family is of secondary concern. They have all they need. Trust.
Here's what's interesting. So the report came out yesterday that Arch Manning, supposedly Texas is now in the lead for him. And I'm thinking Texas, well, I forget Texas is going to be SEC by the time Arch is there next year. I thought he'd go to Georgia. But think about this, JC. Okay, you know who supposedly Texas's quarterback is supposed to be this year?
I did. I read his name, but
I'll help you out here. It's Quinn Ewers, I think you pronounce it.
That's right, the Ohio State guy.
Supposedly got a lot of money to go Ohio State.
Yeah.
Saw he would never play there, so he went to Texas. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Who knows what Texas is paying him? But then, okay, what if he has a good year this year, and then they pay Arch Manning to come sit on the bench? You see where I'm going with this? It's going to be a mess. But I don't know where Arch is going to end up. I mean, it's a 3-horse race. I still think he's going to go to Georgia, but it's Georgia, Alabama, or Texas. But again, like you said, he definitely doesn't need any money.
It's not a money thing. It's about. Oh yeah, of course. But I think again, that's secondary. They want to, you know, his dad and his uncles want to see if this kid has what it takes to play, you know, and I'm sure he does, but we'll have to watch because college is a lot different than high school and obviously the pros. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see, but frankly, to tell you the truth, I think Georgia, Alabama, and even Texas to a certain extent are going to be fine. And, whether they get him or not. And, you know, you just never know what these kids are going to do. It really just does come down to, you know, what's best for them. And money can be that for some, but not for all of them.
Yeah. Dan says, here, before we let you go, JC, a couple more. I want to get your thoughts on this. Right. Dan says, for $8 million, maybe some of these NFL players with eligibility will go back to college to play.
Yeah.
That's what people don't realize. Okay, so there's 53 guys on a roster. About 10 of those – probably make $3 million or more. The other 43 are making anywhere between $300,000 and $800,000. That right there goes to show you how ridiculous this whole deal is. I mean, don't you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I do. And I do think eligibility standards are going to change. I think you're going to be able to declare. And then if you change your mind, like Shibway, come back. And you don't lose eligibility by just declaring. I think that rule needs to change, and I think it will. But, yeah, no, I mean, these guys in the NFL are trying to make a living, and they're reading the headlines that some kid from Bakersfield, California, has 10 times the salary he has already. It's crazy.
Yeah. Joseph says, QB, do you think these boosters paying out all this NIL money are still making their regular booster donations, or is it being waived for the NIL donation? I don't see people giving kids millions and still giving the boosters millions, but maybe they got it like that. Well, obviously, Hugh, who is kind of spearheading the Gator Guard, he's got enough money for years. But I'm just thinking if I'm in that position, JC, let's put yourself in that position. You went to both Florida and Alabama, and obviously you love the Crimson Tide. If you had that kind of money, would you prefer, I think I know the answer to this, but giving $10 million to have the John Cornell Jr. Weight room named after you, or would you want that $10 million to be dispersed among players?
I would want the weight room.
Exactly.
Exactly. I would want the weight room or the library or whatever these kids need in the football facility. You know, maybe tutors, you know, people to travel with them, whatever it can. Food and nutrition is one of the bigger things, too, that never gets talked about. And that's such a big part of what Alabama does, and I'm sure it will be with Florida. Because, frankly, QB, it hasn't been at Florida. And it was exposed under Mullen's regime. And that was one of the first things that Billy, I think, was going to change was the food and nutrition portion of all this. And, you know, getting these kids the right food, the right everything. And that's where my money would go, QB. I would make sure that is obligated to go to the facility of getting the development for these players as opposed to just throwing it at them blindly and saying, hey, go wear my logo at, you know, at the ice cream shop or the Dodge dealership, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. David says they already know if he can play. I'm not sure who he knows what he's talking about or who he's referring to there. Joseph says, I'm just wondering if these booster clubs will lose funding over years due to people wanting to pay NIL. I mean, it could happen. Like I said, the guys that paid $30 million to A&M, The guys that have raised the money now for the Gator Guard, they're not going to be hurting for any money. I mean, they're smart, and they wouldn't give the money if they thought it was going to hurt them down the road.
These are tax write-off.
But again, it's crazy, you know, and I still think this will happen if they don't get this under control. Is, like I said, if John Cornell told, or Nick Saban really liked player X out of Buchholz, and you were kind of that guy, the bag man, so to speak, and you paid X amount of dollars for that Buchholz Bobcat to go play for Alabama, and after year one, after year two, he's just basically returning kicks, you're going to be like, why did you want me to pay this guy this money? I'm not getting to see him play. And I think that could be a problem.
Yeah. So. No, the things will be coming through the cracks as long as this keeps going. Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Well, let's. We're going to see if we can get Jeff Cardozo on. He's on. And we're going to talk some baseball, JC. Enjoy your trip in Boston. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. All right. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's JC joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. I'm going to take a timeout. Come back. We're going to talk a little Gator baseball with Jeff Cardozo. You're watching and listening to Pot with Matthews in the morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co., Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks, Ironwood Golf Course. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Pro football legend Emmett Smith understands your joint pain.
It does not surprise me that there are a ton of people out there that's in pain.
That's why Emmett is such a proponent of QC Kinetics, offering real lasting joint pain relief with non-surgical, all-natural biologic treatments.
Whether it's a joint pain, ankle pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, back pain, hip pain, any kind of pain, the body eventually will break down when it's under that much stress.
That stress can cloud your judgment to the point that you'll just say yes to the scalpel or yes to another prescription of pain pills. But maybe it's time for a second opinion from QC Kinetics.
The reason why I would recommend this is because the natural biologics that QC Kinetics is providing you give your body a chance to naturally heal itself.
Restorative, regenerative solutions are here. Get lasting relief and live your life.
Call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. That's 352-400-4550. QC Kinetics 352-400-4550.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Point is where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Dave & Buster's, Bass Pro Shops, Hotel Indigo, Medici's, Escape Apology, Kilwin's, and the HBC's restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, where you can get 50% off a bottle of wine every Wednesday. We'll see you at Celebration Point where the Gators go to celebrate. We're going to go now to the Titan MR Hotline. We're joined by the voice of Gator baseball, a guy who used to throw it around a little bit off the mound there. They may need him this weekend, Jeff Cardozo. How you doing, Cardozo?
Yeah, they might, man. I wish I could throw it around as good as you back in the day, but I was all right. I'm out at the golf course. It looks like you got that Gator behind you from the golf course. That thing's sweet.
Yeah, he lives out there at Ironwood. At one of those ponds somewhere.
Yeah.
So, Cardozo, first before we get into Gator baseball, we got a new name for the ballpark, the Condren Ballpark. Oh, Gary's going to sponsor everything on campus, isn't he?
Yeah, certainly so. But it's great. You know, I think when you look at everything that's going on with all the NIL stuff and all the support from everybody around Gator Nation, and, you know, you got the Gator Collective doing what they're doing to help get people here. I know it's crazy, Shane, but that's what it's becoming. And, you know, the people that love to support the university and do that, I'll have to get used to it. It was Florida Ballpark for so long, and certainly McKeithen Stadium for a long time, but the Condren Ballpark, it'll have a nice ring to it when it's all said and done.
Yep. All right. We got the number one team in America rolling in here, the Vols. It's amazing how they've turned it around. I have a friend who went to Florida with me, Jeff. Her kid played for Tennessee last year, second baseman. I think he played second. Ferguson was his last name. But I used to joke her. I'd text her during like the regionals and super. I'm like, y'all's bats are loaded. I mean, last year in one regional, they hit like 6 home runs. It was crazy. How are they doing this? I mean, they've turned this program around so fast.
Yeah, you give a lot of credit to Tony Vitello. I mean, this is a guy that was a young and up-and-coming guy who had a lot of experience in the SEC as an assistant. And, you know, he got it and he just ran with it. He understood what it took to make a program good. You know, might have finagled a few things here and there to make it work. But I think what he's done to that place has got him excited. And Shane, they've got some frat houses up beyond the bleachers and right field there. And I think when he got there, he went over there and said, hey, we need to create this raucous type of atmosphere, and you guys come out here and MF everybody and get on them and have a good time and make it a really tough place to play. And they've showed up and shelled out, and he's produced on the field. And, you know, I think we see his antics, and we saw some of the issues he had last year. And, I mean, heck, he's suspended for the first 2 games here because he went and chest bumped an umpire. But the kids play for him. They seem to really love him. He fights for him, and he's got that energetic feel that's probably pretty infectious when you go out there and recruit. And, you know, and with the transfer portal stuff too, you can get old pretty quickly. And you look at Florida and Vanderbilt, it's the 2 youngest teams in the country. They had great recruiting classes, but Shane, if you're a 17 or 18 year old freshman going against a 23-year-old transfer that might have 200 or 300 at bats in college, well, that 18-year-old probably eventually going to be better, but that 23-year-old's probably going to be really, really good and be better up front. So the transfer portal has really changed and allowed people to get good really quick.
Speaking of that, so I look at baseball a lot different when it comes to the transfer portal because, you know, and when Sully goes out and recruits these kids out of high school, they may never show up on campus. They can go play pro ball right away. They come to school, like Judd Fabian, 1 year, has an opportunity to lead. Do you think he will – and we've had some issues on the mound, let's be honest. But do you think moving forward now, do you think Sully will start looking at maybe, let me go find the top junior college pitcher in America, maybe just to give me 1 year? I know that junior college kid has a chance to go pro, but maybe he wants that experience of playing what is basically the best minor league there is, the SEC. Do you think that could change?
Yeah, I think there's no question it'll change. And, I mean, heck, just even talked to him the last couple of weeks, I think he understands it and he sees it. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 5, 6, 7, 8 guys now all of a sudden. And, you know, last year was the first year of it, so it's kind of learning and figuring stuff out. And Shane, they had the #1 recruiting class in the country. So all these dudes are really talented.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need to go out and get some of these guys, but I think there's a lot to be said for experience. I mean, look at even the NCAA tournament. You know, I might throw up in my mouth when I say the Miami Hurricanes, but look at what they did basketball-wise. They got all those transfers. They became really, really good. They get to the Elite Eight, and it got them good all of a sudden. So I think you're going to see that with a lot of programs across the country. And you hate to even say this aspect of it, but remember, you're recruiting guys, and they may not have gone to your school. Let's just say a guy chose LSU over Florida. Well, now all of a sudden he's not playing a couple of years at LSU. They just have a coaching change. And, you know, what if the guy all of a sudden says, now I want to come back to Florida? He doesn't have to wait anymore. Florida, because of the Gator Collective or somebody else, can say, hey, we'll give you $50,000 to do whatever NIL deal or make this happen, and you can go get somebody else. And, I mean, Sully's not going to be that kind of tight, but I think you're going to see other schools going poaching guys and saying, you know, hey, let's come here this year. You didn't play all that much over the summer. Now you're up in the Cape Cod League or something. You got some dude up there watching another guy, and he says, why don't you come play at Florida next year? Why don't you come play at Alabama? Whatever it might be. So I think we're going down something that's really going to change the landscape of not only baseball, but a lot of sports.
Yeah. All right. To this weekend, obviously Barco, tell us exactly, did you ever have an injury like what Barco has right now?
No, he had an elbow. I had shoulder. So, you know, it's really hard with the elbow. It's actually better surgery wise because you're taking a ligament and you're replacing it with something stronger. With the shoulder, you couldn't necessarily do that. And so many guys have had Tommy John nowadays that they get better for it. There's even a couple of Gators that are throwing now in Nesbitt and Pogue that had Tommy John, and they're starting to come back for it. But, you know, luckily, I think he's at least okay from an MRI standpoint. Now it's just about rest and trying to heal it a little bit more. And, you know, hopefully eventually in a couple of weeks, he can get back out on the mound and produce the rest of the way. Because, I mean, as you know, we need pitching. And without your Friday night guy, it's going to make it even tougher.
No doubt. I believe tonight Slater is starting. Is that correct?
Correct. And which is fine. You know, Slater's a guy that's a hybrid. He closed at the beginning part of the year, and then we needed him for more long relief. He's been able to come and give you 4, 5, 6 innings. So I don't think that's going to be any of the issue. I mean, the issue is Tennessee. They're legit. They're good. They fight. They've got 6 guys hitting over 300 and 2 other guys that are hitting just under 300. So Slater's going to have to be really good. Sproat's been really good the last couple of outings. He ended up giving up one bad hit to Vandy last weekend, or probably would have won the game. And then Neely, the freshman, starting to finally figure it out. I mean, he's showing a little poise, a little fight in him. So, and, you know, look at the two big series that Florida has won this year. It was Arkansas and Miami. I mean, both of those teams are top 5 in the country. They lost the Friday night game, the game that Barco pitched, and were able to win Saturday and Sunday. So if for some reason Slater can be effective like he has been in relief, then, I mean, you scrap enough and you hang in there and you can pull one out tonight.
Yeah. Speaking of Slater, I've known his dad for 20-something years. He's the head trainer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know if you're aware of that. He used to be a trainer with the Chicago Bears, so it's pretty cool. Let's talk SEC real quick, because I was telling JC, I was flipping through the channels, Cardozo, last night, and the Ole Miss State game was on. Both those teams were ranked number 1 in America at one point this year. Neither are ranked now and may not even make it to Hoover. That's crazy. And then you look at, you know, Florida obviously is not having the year that we expected. Vanderbilt, South Carolina. I mean, the parity in the SEC is just ridiculous right now.
Yeah, it's stupid crazy. And again, I think part of it's because of that portal. You get veteran guys that have come in and made impacts. I mean, Alabama's best player was in the Ivy League, played 19 games last year, didn't even play the COVID year, and now he's tearing it up. So it's crazy the impact that you can immediately come in and do some damage. So I think you give some of these coaches credit for finding those guys, but you're right. It's nuts to see what's happened with Ole Miss. And, you know, Mississippi State, you knew, would struggle probably a little bit because they had so many veterans on that team last year that won it all. And some of those pitchers were now gone. So they've got to recreate some stuff and have some youth in there. But yeah, no weekend is easy. I guess the good part about, if you look at Florida's schedule, Florida should honestly be 9-6. They blew the Sunday game against Alabama. Probably should have won all 3, at least give them one more against Vandy, give them one more against Georgia. They'd be 9-6 right now instead of 6-9 if the bullpen hadn't blown those games late in the game. So I don't think Florida's all that bad. You got to get one this week against Tennessee, but then you play Mississippi State, you play Kentucky, you play South Carolina, and you play Missouri to finish up the season. So realistically, those are 4 of the cellar dwellers right now in the league, and you've got a chance to maybe win 2 out of 3 every one of those weekends. So if you do that, then you're back to 15-15. You're certainly in a regional. And if it's Miami, I mean, heck, go down to Miami, kick their butt like they always do, and be really, really good. And, you know, maybe got a chance to sneak out of a regional.
Yeah. All right. Last thing for you. Judd Fabian, would you say, is having a better year this year than last year? And did he make a good decision coming back?
I mean, no question. It's hard to turn down $2.5 million, though. I know you and I probably don't do that. But listen, he's got more walks than strikeouts. He's the league leader in homers again. At 20 last year, already 16 now at a different point. So I think you got to give him a lot of credit. And it's been fun to see him play with Derek, too. Those guys are having a great time. He's really helped out Derek a lot. And then even from just the center field aspect, I mean, he's running down balls. I think he took a lot of his at-bats last year into the field. and he just didn't even look like the same center fielder. But I mean, now he's playing like crazy and so patient at the plate. He's not chasing pitches like we saw last year. He's running a little bit. He's hitting the ball the right field. I think everything that he wanted to come back and show that he could do, he's showing. And I wouldn't be surprised if that decision has now helped him out and, you know, maybe get another $1.5 million, $2 million because of it, where he's going to get picked.
Quick question. Facebook Live brought to you by Mental Law. John asked, Jeff, what's the status of Nick Pogue? Can we rely on him?
Hopefully. It was really encouraging. He threw this last midweek, and his issue was throwing a lot of balls. Everything was missing up. He was trying to find some band and figure it out with the coming back from the arm injury. And the first 11 pitches he threw were strikes. So that not till the 12th one was a breaking ball, an 0-2 pitch off the plate. So that was really, really encouraging. Sully got him out of there because I think he now understands, man, if Poe can give me that, I can get 2-3 innings out of him, and I'm going to need some arms. So him and Nesbitt. Nesbitt's a guy that, dude, Shane, you would love that guy if you watched him. I mean, he competes his ass off. And, you know, I think we talk about that a lot. And he's a guy that's not scared. He'll come into bases loaded, you know, one out and fight and battle. And guy's only throwing about 90 miles an hour, but he throws three pitches for strikes. And I think Florida needs more of that. And hopefully some of these freshmen are starting to find that where you can go out, because I mean, at this point, you're not freshman anymore. I mean, you've gone to these big stadiums, you've played really good competition. So it's time to say, okay, I'm not a freshman anymore. I got to figure this thing out and understand how to throw strikes.
Yeah. Jeff, we appreciate you taking the time, my man, the voice of Gator baseball. Be calling the game from the new Condren ballpark. Don't screw that up now.
I got you, man. I got it. Take care.
That's Jeff. Join us on the Titan Amora Hotline. We're going to take our final timeout, come back, wrap up this Friday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Our gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co., Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, Aikido America, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Silver Q Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at South State Bank. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner they can rely on. South State has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking for, remember, FDIC. I want to thank JC and Jeff Cardozo. Join us on the Titan MR Hotline. Let's get to This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Give them a call at 352-376-2366. How about this, folks? I want your thoughts on this. The NFL draft on this day, who is the biggest bust on the overall pick? 1990, the Colts select quarterback Jeff George. Or in 1995, the Cincinnati Bengals select Kajana Carter with the first pick. Or Sam Bradford, St. Louis Rams, first overall pick in 2010. Kind of interesting to see. I would probably say Sam Bradford had the best career out of all of them. Before we get out of here, we got a ton of questions or comments on these. Andy says Todd Marinovich or Mandarich from Green Bay. John says to Jeff, okay, so you give a kid $8 million out of your pocket and he can't beat out the kid in front of him or gets hurt and never plays again or doesn't even come to your school. What would you do then? Yeah, there's going to be some, I don't know. And then John tells David, the best players in the NFL don't get paid until their rookie contract is up. And by that time, the owners of the team know if they're going to be legit or not. Yes. And when their rookie contract is up, if they still aren't in the NFL, they don't get paid at all. They aren't vested. They don't. You got to have 3 years and three games. Look, the NFL ain't dumb. They know how hard it is to play in that league. That's why the average career of an NFL player is 2.5 years. Quick question here before we get out of here from John. Where does Debo end up being that he wants to be a true? Well, I don't know, man. I think he's a really good football player. I love the way San Fran used him. So we shall see. Don't know the answer to that. I haven't really followed it close. Yeah, Ryan Lift. No, the question was, it wasn't who's the biggest bust. These were the guys that were drafted on this day in sports. I don't know what day Ryan Leaf was drafted. Dan says Kajana Carter. Yeah, he never really did much for them. Jeff says, that's the risk you have to take to be great. Every under-the-table payment throughout the history of college sports has been before the player was a proven college commodity. These wealthy boosters have hundreds of millions. That's probably not – that's probably some truth to that, but probably not. I think the difference back when stuff was being in a bag or under the table, it was the players that you really knew. But now your recruiting class – think about it. A&M, I think it was 10 or 12 kids. They got $2 or $3 million each. Those 10 ain't all going to pan out. I can promise you that. That's the difference now. They're gonna have to spread that money among 85 players to keep everybody somewhat happy that are on scholarship. And I think that's going to be difficult. But it's great conversation. It's great at what Florida's doing. And with the Gator Guard, we'll see how they use it. Again, I read also where it says the Gator Guard has a lot to do with football operations and facilities. So I think they're – and again – That has nothing to do with the University of Florida because, again, no monies or no checks or no direct deposits can come from the UAA to a football player. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's program. Have a great weekend. We'll recap the softball series and the baseball series this weekend. Should be great on campus. Tell all your friends and family to follow our program. We appreciate y'all. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
Trying to get the fans fired up, second down and 10. Matthews rolling to his right, in trouble, can't find anyone. Now he throws it for Harrison. Houston, who makes the catch. He's in the open field. Harrison to the 20. They're not going to catch him. Touchdown, Gators!